Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I'm thrilled to have with me today Alex Davis from Intuit UK. Alex, hello to you.
Hi, Rob. Great to be with you.
It's wonderful to have you. And Alex, just for the benefit of people listening that may not have come across you, tell us a bit about you and your background and how you got into your role.
So I work with Intuit in the UK. So the brand that probably know us for is QuickBooks and QuickBooks Online. So I've been with Intuit now for nearly 4 years, and I work within our strategic partnerships team. So typically looking after our top 50 accountancy firms within the UK. So it's my responsibility just to make sure that they're looked after from an account management perspective and a business development perspective as well. I've been in business development for best part of 20 years, always B2B. That's my background.
And what do you love most about what you do?
It's really interesting, isn't it, with the sales, because I think most people, if they're really honest around business development, very, very few have a career intention to go into business development or sales. Very few people go through school or university with that aspiration in mind. So the flip side of that is actually I find it incredibly exciting. It actually talks to a lot of my strengths, a lot of my passions around how do you influence psychology? How do you understand people? How can you read people? How can you connect with people? How can you build rapport with people? And actually, I'm really passionate about the fact that actually everyone is in sales. Everyone at some point has to influence, whether it's with your children, whether it's with your boss, whether it's with your colleague. You're always trying to put your point of view across in a way that changes someone else's mind. So a huge, huge amount of skills within sales and business development that are standard within life. I think actually everyone should own up to the fact that they're in the business development and sales game.
Yeah, it's a good point, because accountants is a race. They're unusual, aren't they? They're technically brilliant. They're sometimes socially awkward. They've kind of got that reputation. What are the people like that you come across?
The people I work with, certainly within the larger firms, they're typically risk averse. I think what you're seeing now within the larger firms especially is actually embracing business development as a concept in its own right. So it's moving away from the rainmakers being partners or the associates or the directors. And actually they're now having discrete business development roles within these firms. And these are the people that don't have a portfolio. They don't have a background necessarily in accounting. It's a new generation of people that I'm seeing that come from a sales and business development background, rather than they've drifted into sales because the managing partner thinks that actually they're pretty good at going to networking events. And historically, absolutely, I think the accountant sector and the individuals within it are fairly introverted, fairly risk averse, fairly difficult sometimes to communicate with. But I think that's changing for various reasons.
So when you look at the good firms, what in your view separates the good ones from the great ones?
I think what we're now seeing is a real understanding that brand is essential. The big boys are starting these kind of sub-brands, you know, moving away from these large firms, the likes of PwC with my finance partner, BDO with their Drive proposition. You've got Deloitte with Propel, very, very strong propositions. And they speak to an audience in a very, very different way than the core brand does. They're actually very benefit led. They talk about being in control and talk about getting paid faster. They talk about growing your business, all of these kinds of things that speak to the client directly, rather than reverting to we're one of the big four, or we've been in business for 200 years, or we're very partner led with our services. So I'm seeing the shift now, and the guys that are getting it right, the ones that are really resonating with the audience, are those that first of all have a good proposition, and first of all it has to be a good proposition, has to be a good product, but they're actually beginning to learn how to communicate that far more effectively around benefit statements and being more customer led.
Yeah, growth is obviously on the agenda for large firms. How have you seen changes in the way firms win work and grow over the years, Alex?
So typically what we've seen within the industry is a heavy, heavy reliance on referral business with the big firms as well, you know, that they will naturally organically grow 5-10% every year, their fee base based on referral business and people referring clients in. And I think what they're very aware of is, first of all, it's becoming very competitive. We're seeing the high street accountancy firms gearing up and playing in the space and moving up the food chain, if you like. We're seeing virtual firms, you know, some really good examples, the likes of Crunch down in Brighton, these kind of guys that are coming into the market that with very low cost base and showing up very, very well online. And then you've got the big boys playing in the SME space that they would never play in before. So those kind of large firms are getting squeezed from various areas. And what we're seeing now, and what I think is really, really exciting for the industry, is this kind of melting pot where everyone is coming together and trying to chase after the same audiences. We're seeing some really exciting stuff around niching. That's one of these areas where I think it's getting more and more exciting, where firms are getting more and more specialist within what they do. The ones that will be successful are the ones that really understand their customer, really understand their client base, don't rely just on referral business, and actually really, really are far more proactive with the type of client that they're chasing. But they have to be very, very focused in terms of what they do and the value they bring.
What's the worst advice or doctrine you see being dispensed in the accounting field?
I think what we've got to move away from is this concept that sales is around manipulation and trying to influence people and win them over, you know, these win-lose scenarios, you win, the client loses. I'm still seeing a lot of rhetoric. I do see examples of that, especially around pricing methodology and things like that, where you're trying to play with clients' minds and give them a range of choices, but actually really you're steering them down this route and you're really, you know, you're trying to win that business. This concept of selling is about serving and helping and making sure that you're nurturing relationships, you're talking long term, there's no specific angle. That is becoming more and more positive. So that the other side of that is I'm still seeing these kind of manipulation old school techniques come into what accountants are being told to do. The trap that accountants themselves are falling into, the ugly side of that is you go onto a website, it still talks about we do this, we do this, we're great at this. There's actually very little about this is what you will get from our services and this is how you will benefit. And actually flip that on its head and it becomes incredibly powerful in terms of the benefit you're bringing to your clients. So don't talk about how long you've been in business or the services that you offer or even to the extent of how brilliant your clients say you are. If someone was to spend 20 seconds on your site, what would they come away with thinking that was going to be the biggest improvement in their life that you're going to bring to them? So it's about being very client-led, being very benefit-led, and not going down the route of thinking if you shout about your services, then people will come.
So presumably you do that with what you are for accountants.
We're a software vendor. We're software as a service. That's what we do. So people always make the assumption that we're going to come and talk to them and demo the product and we're going to open up our laptop and go through, you know, all the features of QuickBooks Online and what it brings. And actually, it's not a particularly helpful conversation. It's not a particularly exciting conversation and doesn't really talk about, you know, the biggest improvement that we can make to their business. And actually, when you look at the reasons for them wanting to engage with you in the first place, hidden behind that is a desire for growth. It's a desire to sell more, be more profitable, those kinds of things. So actually we tailor our program and our consultancy and the way that we work, certainly within the larger firms, around what we will typically do to help them in those areas. So that's been a big shift. And it goes back to my point a little while ago, that actually, unless you're having conversations with clients about how you can improve their business and how you can improve their lives, then actually all you're doing is just giving them information that they can find on Google.
Yeah. You're a bit of a student of trust, aren't you, Alex? I know how important you feel trust is. Talk to us a bit about how large accounting firms are being trusted, or trusted advisor, trustworthy. What are your thoughts on that?
The industry I work in with accountants are incredibly uniquely placed within this market. And there's been various research around it. You know, the ICAW's Tomorrow of Practice a few years ago talked about by miles the most trusted profession was accountants, when, you know, you compare it to the banks and you compare it to solicitors and these kind of other professional services. Actually, it was the accountant that came out by miles the most trusted advisor. What we're finding now within, you know, just the world generally, is there's so much noise. Your senses are abused as soon as you turn your emails on, as soon as you the TV on, as soon as you turn your laptop in, everyone's saying, you know, that they're the best, they've got the best product and they're the most trusted. So we're going to become more and more reliant on those trusted advisors and those people that can really steer us in that direction. My advice to accountants within that is, great, you've got a huge opportunity here, but don't be fooled into thinking that if you keep going on about how long you've been in business and how great your offices are and how many partners you have, don't be fooled into thinking that that's what the new generation is going to see as the level of trust. You know, there's lots and lots of research out there to say that the newer generation, the millennials, Generation Z, actually will trust you far more if you have a LinkedIn profile and a social media presence than they would if you talked about having an office address local to them. So actually that benchmark of trust is changing hugely in terms of what we do and the way that we measure that level. So those firms that really understand how they build trust over a long time across various mediums, appealing to a new generation, is the ones that will win.
Yeah, brilliant points. Are you seeing a change in the behavior of clients, the way they buy, the way they find accountants, the propensity to which they switch easily or harder? What are you seeing there?
Absolutely. I think we are seeing a real shift there. It was kind of hit home to me a couple of years ago. We had one of our conferences in Birmingham, it was, and there was a chap that stood up on stage, had went into business when he was 15 years old. You know, he's the age of 18 and he employs 19 people. He's one of these guys that just makes you think you've been a failure in life, really. But he was talking about how he goes about looking at accountants, and he's switched accountants four times last 5 years. And when you challenged him about that, when you said, geez, that, you know, that's amazing that you're switching that often, and it wasn't a surprise to him, he was surprised that we were surprised. We switch energy suppliers all the time, and he just felt it was actually because my accountant is offering me a commodity, they're offering me something that I can get from anyone, because they're just offering me a year-end set of accounts and making sure that I'm compliant. So why would it be strange I'm switching? So where accountancy services are continuously seen as a commodity, then I think we will see a lot of switching. I think we will see that move, and that buying behavior is changing. And actually, interestingly, the thing that Ben said, who was the customer, was that the main reason he switched is his new accountant offered him a subscription-based model where he could pay monthly for his services. He knew there weren't going to be any surprises. He knew he wasn't going to get that bill at the end of the year and think, geez, I wasn't expecting that. He just knew what was going to happen, and he subscribes to all of his services. He doesn't own CDs. He doesn't own a car. He leases his car. He doesn't actually own anything. Rents his house. He doesn't own his house. Why would he want to pay a one-off fee for the way that he interacts with his accountants?
You talk a little bit about pricing there, the subscription model. Are you seeing major shifts now? There's a lot of work on pricing, isn't there? And it's becoming more important, right?
And it's been around for a while, you know, the concept of whether we call it fixed-based pricing, value-based pricing, subscription-based pricing, whatever we call it, this concept of moving away from a hourly-based fee done at the end of the year, historically, 9 months, 18 months, whatever it is after the actual event. I think that is dead. And I think anyone that continues would be making a mistake. I think we're seeing a kind of gradual step now to fixed-based pricing. There's not many accountants that I come across that are purely charging by the hour. I think they are seeing, you know, we offer this service and it's this amount of money, and that's an annual fee. There's others that are moving towards a subscription-based model. So a similar thing, but we will just take that amount on a monthly basis. And it's still in its infancy, to be honest, you know, although we've been talking about it for a while, but you see these brands like GoProposal and that really are offering a very systemized, process-driven way of pricing for services that's still very tailored to the client. So you still go through a diagnostic process with the client and you say, what do you want to do? Where do you want to get to? What's important to you? And go through goal-based conversations, and then you map the pricing into that. And it typically comes out as a monthly fee. But for me, that's a no-brainer. That's absolutely the way that things should be going. And it's just this fear of change and doing things differently that's stopping accountants going through that process.
So when we're in a client-centric world, and yet we've got trusted advisors there, whose responsibility is it, do you feel, to lead in the engagement?
I think that's a really interesting question. And again, it goes back to the original point, the start of the conversation around actually everyone is in sales and everyone is responsible for having those conversations. I was with a firm a couple of years ago, actually, that had put its entire team through a sales program. Their client managers, their accounts production staff, their receptionists, took everyone off the road, put everyone through a fairly low level, standard benefit-led, how do you have benefit-led conversations and that kind of thing. It was fairly low level. They believed that every time someone has a touch point with a client, it's an opportunity to sell or to enhance the conversations, to bring more value, whatever we call it. It was an opportunity to have an interaction with that client. So it's everyone's responsibility to show up and have the right conversations, bring value to the client, and ultimately either make sure that they refer and recommend what you do, or they stay around in the long term. It shouldn't be the ultimate aim of every conversation, but they buy more services from you and have that approach to it.
And what I was getting to more with the question is, should the client lead or should the accountant, the trusted advisor, lead? Because if the clients are driving the market and they're in charge, they presumably know what they want, but the customer doesn't always know best, do they?
No, and I think the other trend that we're seeing, you know, largely within sales is what's the purpose of a salesperson? You know, what is the purpose of their role? And now actually salespeople have been talked about as coaches, as mentors, as people that actually bring out of the client really what their ultimate goals and aspirations are. So if you put that spin on it and say who drives the conversation, actually the conversation is very much driven by the client, but the framework that is put in place by the accountant, the client that's playing on the pitch, but the accountant is is the referee and maps out the pitch and makes the rules and makes sure that everyone's playing in the right way. So it's got to feel client-led. I think as soon as you start pushing people down roads they don't want to go down without having a kind of a needs-based conversation, I think you're in dangerous territory. But accountants have a huge role to play in terms of driving the conversation.
Interesting. So what do you see, and you talk to a lot of firms, Alex, what do you see that's really working for firms who are growing, and where do you see the most opportunities for them?
I'm a really strong believer, and we see a lot of this in press and within accounting at the moment, is this concept around specialism and niching. If you think about having a medical condition, if you had a common cold, you travel a mile maybe to your local surgery and see the doctor and get your medication. If you had an acute heart condition, or if you had something that was very specialist that actually you felt only a few people could help you with, you'd travel to the ends of the world to have that seen. And it's similar with this concept around niching. If you really, really know your market well, have a really strong specialism within that market. It doesn't mean to say there has to be one. You know, the larger firms now are waking up to this to say, well, actually, it doesn't mean there's a firm we have to nail our colours to the mast for that. But actually, we can have representation within the firm that will talk to specific vertical sectors. It could be niches within niches, but something that's highly specialised. That's where I see a huge opportunity, certainly for the larger firms. You know, they're looking at these pressures from the high street, they're looking at the pressures from virtual firms, they're looking at the pressures from the big four. Actually, this concept around niching, specialization, really understanding a client sector very, very well, I think is a really big opportunity.
Looking ahead, crystal ball, what's critical for large progressive accounting firms over the next few years?
Again, we hear it all the time about technology and automation, the way it's driving things. We're not far off now with true disruption. And I don't think the industry has been disrupted. You know, you compare it to the like travel agencies and estate agents, and that has been hugely disrupted by technology. I think it's mainly around trust when it comes to submitting things to HMRC and Companies House. They don't want to make a mistake. So accountants haven't been disrupted as much by technology. But I think we will now see, with a newer generation coming in, there will be a high level of trust around relying on software to do the compliance work and that side of it. I truly believe we're on the cusp of something different now with machine learning and artificial intelligence that will move it in that direction. So relying on that part of the business, I think I read that 76% of accounting fees still comes from compliance and traditional work. So I think, you know, that there's a red flag there for any firms that rely on that. I think the advisory part is really interesting, and I think the firms that are successful within the advisory space will again make sure that they're equipping all of their team with the right skills to have the right conversations with clients and move them in that direction. And we're seeing a shift now in qualifications. I'm speaking to a number of firms that are talking about SEMA as a qualification, management accounting as a qualification that they're aspiring to, rather than the more technical elements, the AATs, these kinds of qualifications that people are going down. So again, that crystal ball, who will be successful, who won't be, again, that mindset around how are we setting our internal team for success around having deeper conversations, better conversations, more meaningful conversations with our clients, where we're really leading to advisory. So you're not just going to solve everything by saying, right, let's buy a bit of software that does some good management reports and give it to everyone and cross our fingers that we're going to have more advisory conversations with our clients. That's not going to be successful. There's got to be a clearer understanding of how you set up your team. Don't move away from compliance. Compliance will always be there, and that will always be your way into companies and your bread and butter. But I see a huge mix of fee income. You know, the fee income has got to move away from that 76% to a more balanced portfolio of, you know, how that fee is coming into the firm.
So what do Intuit do for clients, and what does a typical day for Alex Davis look like?
I look after a very select amount of clients. The days of picking up the phone and spending lots of time and doing volume-based calls with clients is gone. I will spend a lot more time now on social media. You know, before I start work, before I open up the emails, I'll always check on LinkedIn, check on Twitter, not just let's see what people are up to, but actually I look to share content on a fairly regular basis. I need to get better at it, but I will blog around some thought leadership, and I'm very clear around my intent on social media. It's not there to share photos and family time and that kind of thing. That's not what I'm there to do. I get a significant amount of good conversations with clients and intelligence around social media. So that's been a big change in terms of what I do on a regular basis. Linking in the original conversation around what Intuit do and what QuickBooks do, actually, we're gearing a lot of our conversations now around how do we help you as a firm grow. We've got a very strong methodology in our sales team around what we call customer decision cycle. And that talks a lot about how do we have deeper and more meaningful conversations, how to create value with our clients rather than communicate value with our clients. That's something that absolutely Intuit looks to bring within the UK very, very strongly to the way that we work with our customers. Alongside of that, there's still no replacement to spending time face to face with customers as well. We get kind of sucked into this world of social media and phone calls and conference calls, but there's still a huge amount of value in actually getting out and seeing people, especially when you're looking after a smaller group of accounts. But everything has to be done with intent, and that's the one thing. Have very, very clear intent around what you do. And if you are going to spend time face to face with clients, make sure there's a very clear purpose around what you're doing and the outcome that you're looking to get from that interaction.
Alex, fantastic stuff. If people want to find out more about Intuit or get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Alex L. Davis on LinkedIn. My Twitter is Alex_Intuit on Twitter if you want to link in that way, or the old school email if you want to go down that route is Alex_Davis@Intuit.com. Love to hear from you. Love to get your view. I love talking, as we've talked in the past, around just sales, business development, the way it's going, the way it's moving. Really passionate about that as a profession.
Alex, that's been world class. Thanks so much for your time today.
No problem at all. Thanks, Rob.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.